Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is week three in our Stepping Out series. We have started a series titled Stepping Out based on Hebrews chapter 11, which is known as the Hall of Faith. In baseball, they have the Hall of Fame, but in the Bible, they have the Hall of Faith. How many want to be listed in the Hall of Faith? We want to live by faith. The Bible is emphatically clear about this. Faith is what pleases God. If you want to please God in 2025, you have to live by, everyone, faith. Faith is what pleases God. And the Bible teaches us here on so many different aspects and facets of faith, but there's one thing that's consistent with all of them. In the first 2 weeks, we've covered what I'm going to describe as the inward actions of faith. There's an inward action. The first inward action of faith is hope. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. When you're walking in faith, your heart is filled with hope. And what that means is that you wake up with expectation. Did you wake up with some expectation that God is going to do something? God is going to bless you. God is with you. How many believe God is with us and God is for us? Somebody please say amen. That's hope. That's expectation. That's why we pray for the men of God here. Because God wants to use them in mighty ways. That is our full expectation. Inwardly speaking, we hope from the heart. And then we also believe from the heart. And when you believe in your heart, what are you believing? You're believing that the powerful word of God is able to create what's not there. You understand? If God says it, that settles it. If God says, I'm going to do this, guess what? He's going to do it. Doesn't matter if it's there now, but when he says it's going to be there, how many know his powerful word will make it be there, whatever it is, whoever it is, God is able by his mighty power to speak things into existence. That's how everything got here. And if you haven't been keeping up with the series, please go back and listen to the first two. Now, today, we're actually going to begin to look at the first outward act of faith. But I need to say, why is this so important? It's because of what James says about faith. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. But look at what James says about faith. It says, as the body without the spirit is everyone dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Faith without action is no faith at all. You understand? Faith without deeds, faith without works, in another translation, is dead. And look at what the Bible says. This is a challenge to everyone's faith today. Here's what the Bible says. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. If we just listen, but we don't let the word turn into faith, and then faith always has a manifestation to it, we're actually deceiving ourselves. It says, do what it says. So faith has action attached to it. There are deeds of faith. All throughout the unfolding year, if you are stepping out in faith, you're stepping out. There's a deed, there's a manifestation, an expression to faith in the heart of every child of God. And today, the title of the message is The First Act of Faith. What is the first act of faith? So many different stories in the Bible, and yet today we're going to be looking at the first act of faith. And by the way, it should be the most common act of faith. This should be the most practiced act of faith. And here's, before I read to you, I want to say this. If you're a baby Christian here, if you're new to the faith, you can use Hebrews chapter 11 almost as the building blocks of your relationship with God. Because when you accept Jesus, you want to please God. Does anybody here want to please God in 2025? Could I see your hands? Come on, right? If you want to please God, then guess what? It's going to require faith. Faith is what pleases God. And so if you're young and new in the things of God, start right here. It doesn't get better than this. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then turn here and use these different principles as we walk through it, because this is the highest and best. You're learning from the best. You're learning from the Hall of Faithers. So this is a big, big deal. Now, what if you're kind of been serving the Lord maybe as long as I have? I want to challenge you. This is very, very important, because when you want to please God, it requires faith. The Bible says this is what they were commended for. And so when you've been serving God for 30 years or 40 years, you still should want to please God, and you should still want to be commended by God. The only way to please God in the days ahead is not by living off of your past faith, but by living off of fresh faith, new faith. How many know that we can all sing like we were singing before? I don't know if we got to sing that part of the song, but he is more than able. You are more than able. We were singing, you're not done with me yet. There's so much more to the story. Just because you've been serving God for 20 years or 30 years, do you think God is finished with you? How many know he's just getting started? You're not done with me yet. And what that means is that when you wake up in the morning, you should still want to please God. What will please God even if you've been serving God for 40 years? I'm going to tell you right now, it's faith. Some people, their faith gets old, not because of their age, but their faith gets old because they stop thinking that they should still be trying to please God and to walk by faith. So I've been serving the Lord for 40 years. I've been the lead pastor of this church for going on 23, completing 23 years in probably another month or so, give or take. And you know what? I still want to please God, and I know it will take everyone faith. It takes faith to please God. Don't ever allow your, quote, resume of the past to be what you bring before God. Okay, bring your heart before God and say, I want to please you today. Did you wake up and say, I want to please you today? I want to please you in 2025. It takes faith. And so this is a very, very big deal, very, very important series and message. The first act of faith is found Hebrews 11. We're going to go to verse 4 now. Look at how faith was expressed. It says, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. I want you to drink in this verse. I want you to be thoughtful today. There's a lot of teaching in the message today. I want you to take in this instruction, because this instruction is supposed to build you up, not just for when you're here, but for when you're gone. For when you leave this place, you can still be walking by faith. Actually, this text has caused me to pray a prayer that I've never prayed before. I'll get to it in a moment. But look, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous. This is what the ancients were commended for. Well done. God looks down at your life and at my life, and you know, we get so caught up with being perfect. Nobody's perfect, not even one. Only Jesus was perfect, and that's why we're under the blood, because Jesus paid it all. Somebody say amen, right? Jesus paid it all, so we can live for God even though we're not perfect, but what pleases God is faith, and God looks at your life, and the Bible tells us this. There's like conversation in heaven. Have you noticed my servant Job? Look at this one. Look at that one, how they're living by faith. That's what the Bible says. It says they were commended as righteous. Watch this. God spoke well of his offerings. And then it says, and by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. So, what is the first act of faith? The first act of faith is worship. That's the first act of faith. And I would go on to say it should be the most common act of our faith. The first act of faith is worship. It says, by faith, Abel brought a better offering than Cain. We're gonna unpack that in a moment. But can I tell you something? Real faith, everybody say real faith. Real faith worships. When you have real faith, it makes you thank God. It makes you praise God, because real faith wants to continually give God all of the credit and all of the glory and all of the honor. Faith says it's because of you. Faith says it's because you're good. It's because you're kind. It's because you're merciful. That's why there's anything good in my life. I give you the credit. Anybody want to give Jesus the credit in 2025? That's real faith. What you see here are two different individuals, one who offered God whatever he wanted, another one who wanted to offer God all of the glory, all the honor. This was a beautiful expression of faith. And here's what's interesting about this, is his worship, because of how God values your worship and your offerings, his worship enabled him to do something that would live even beyond him. Because it says, even though he's dead, he still speaks. And if you look through the Bible, there was whoever honored God, memorialized God with offerings, God memorialized them. So there was a woman who came, she just put two coins into the offering. And guess what Jesus did? Jesus memorialized that moment, and he said, look at what my servant is doing. Look at how my servant is honoring me. In another place, a woman comes, a jar is broken open. She gives a year's worth of salary in this perfume, and she pours it on Jesus. The disciples even were criticizing her, and Jesus was like, get out of here, stop criticizing. Criticizing her. What she has done for me, it will be spoken of forever and ever wherever my name is mentioned. Because faith takes what you do by faith. Your offerings of faith go way beyond your life. That's what the Bible is teaching here. Very, very powerful. And so, can I tell you something? I've never prayed this before. And we're going to pray in a moment. But I want to encourage you to pray like I just started praying this week. I prayed, Lord, make me like Abel. Make me a worshiper, God. God, I want to worship at a whole different level. I want to give him the highest praise, the highest glory, the greatest honor. You are more than Abel. I worship you. I praise you. God looks down from heaven, and he is pleased when an offering goes up from your heart or mine to him. Anybody want to please God? Come on, we gotta worship him. Hallelujah. Last thing I'll say before we pray, just know real faith is always upward. Real faith is always upward. Real faith makes you think about God. Real faith makes you excited about God and about the goodness of God and about your relationship with God. Real faith makes you want to praise God. Real faith makes like a praise Jesus slip out when you're at Starbucks. Like, praise the Lord, and people look at you and go, sorry, I couldn't help it, just slipped out. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're at work, you're at this, you're at that. Like, I told this story a long time ago when Tommy was like, my son Tommy, my youngest, when he was probably 10 years old, we had a father and son home run contest at the park. It was on Irving. There's a little park on Irving, and it's more like a softball park, but we took the little boys and some of the dads. He was playing. And so anyway, we were having this home run contest, and Tommy got up, and the fence was far for the kids, not for the men, but for the kids. And Tommy hit the ball and hit the bottom of the fence, and he hit the ball, hit the bottom of the fence, and then he hit the ball. And I'm telling you, here's the fence. It like creeped over the fence, but when it creeped over the fence, he started going, praise the Lord, praise God. Right, and all of his and all of the dads and the kids are looking at him like this. I was like, oh snap. I was like, what do I do? I said, I can't shut that down. How many know you can't shut down praise? Hallelujah. What's coming out of you? Because real faith expresses praise. Real faith naturally gives offerings to God. So, remember this, and then I want to pray. A life without worship is an incomplete faith. If you look at the Bible, okay, a life without worship is an incomplete faith. True worship has nothing to do with your personality. So, that's not my personality. So, what about who he is? Right? He's still worthy. Amen? Faith will change your personality. Listen, true worship has nothing to do with your position in life. Okay? Well I work at the university, or I work with so many businessmen. I can't be praising God. Yes, you can. Daniel praised God, and he was in the highest levels of government. Joseph gave glory to God, and he was right before Pharaoh, who was considered God himself, but he gave credit to the one who was above Pharaoh. It doesn't matter what your position is, you can always praise God. Faith makes us praise God. Last one, and then we'll pray. Your prosperity level or your poverty level has nothing to do with our worship. See, because there's good times, there's bad times. Sometimes it's rough, sometimes it's not, you know. But on our worst day, would you agree that because Jesus went to the cross on our behalf and rose from the dead in power, because we've been born again as children of God, would you agree with me that on our worst day, he's still worthy of all of the glory and all of the honor and all the praise? Come on, come on, just for a moment, let's praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. So, Father, we come before your mighty throne, and we ask that you would make us like Abel. Make us men and women of worship. Help us to worship you and to please you with the many, many offerings that our heart can give. God, we live on this earth. We don't worship men. We don't worship experiences. We don't worship material possessions. We only worship one. We worship you, Lord Jesus. So God, I pray for Chicago Tabernacle. I pray for Philadelphia Tabernacle. God, would you elevate our worship? Would you release a new grace in us to desire to praise you and to honor you in every way that the Bible says. Bless this word. Bless our families. Bless our future, God. We trust you to do it, Lord, and we will worship you in advance for it by faith. In the mighty name of Jesus, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's clap to Jesus one more time. Hallelujah. Now, look, I want to actually go to the story just to talk on, I want to be able to refer to these high points. The text, the message is on Hebrews 11:4, but I want to be able to touch upon some very important nuances. Maybe you've never looked at this story intently. So in Genesis, when it talks about the actual story, here's how it goes. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just enough. It says, in the course of time, Cain, which was Abel's brother, brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, but it wasn't just some. Here's what it was. It was fat portions. Everyone say fat portions. It was fat portions from some of the firstborn. Everyone say firstborn of his flock. Now, let me explain something to you. The fat portions were the best portions. The firstborn were the first. Okay? So the difference between Cain and Abel is that Abel gave God first and best. Okay? So essentially, when you think about a material offering, okay, just know that what pleased God is that he gave him first and best. Everyone say first and best. Okay? As opposed to just some. And then watch this. This is deep. Watch this. It says, the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. It says, so Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. You must rule over it. The first mention of sin in the Bible is actually related to worship. You see, some of us, we belittle the importance and the impact of worship. What's the first commandment? It says, you shall worship no other gods. The Lord is one. Worship is a big deal. Worship is the only way to properly relate to God. And so this is a much bigger issue. By the way, I'll say this up front. Cain goes down in the books of theology, if you really understand what's going on. Cain goes down in the books of theology as the father of the first false religion. How do you categorize a false religion? A false religion is offering God whatever you want instead of whatever he wants. And that's what's going on here. You understand? This is deep. This is such a big deal. And faith makes you worship God the way God wants to be worshiped. He's the king. He is not just worthy to be praised, he's greatly to be praised. You understand? Look at how someone described this whole issue of faith. And then I want to explain this. I want to say a couple things and then give you some applications. But listen to this. The difference between a prison and a monastery is just the difference between griping and gratitude. Imprisoned criminals spend every waking moment griping. Self-imprisoned saints, when someone goes to a monastery, they're separating themselves from society to this place to focus solely on God. Watch this. Self-imprisoned saints spend every waking moment offering thanks. When a criminal becomes a saint, a prison may become a monastery. But when a saint gives up gratitude, a monastery may become a prison. You see, faith makes you grateful. Okay? Faith makes you grateful. When you and I give up gratitude, we're giving up faith. The minute you and I stop worshiping God, we stop acknowledging God, we're giving up our faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, how do you please God without worship? In other words, look, the Bible says, enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Why? Because there's only one proper way to relate, not just to a king, but to the King of Kings. There's only one proper way to approach him every time, all the time. When you approach God, you're acknowledging his greatness, his glory, his power. And so, all hail King Jesus. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I praise you. I magnify you. I thank you for every good and perfect gift that you provided in this last week. Natural. You know, imagine, imagine if the president was going to sit here, but this, since this is 2025, imagine if your favorite president was going to sit here, because this is another sermon. But if a prince or a king comes and you go into his presence, all of history shows there's a way to enter into the presence of a king. You know, otherwise it's deemed disrespectful, right? So how should you and I go into the presence of the king? You know, should it be like, you are more than able, right? The people are singing, people worship. Can I say, come on and challenge me, pastor, right? You didn't say it, because... Have you ever thought about being in the worship service and you're like this? You know? I don't know, this ain't a bus stop. You know? Why are we here? I hope you're not here for some preacher, okay? I hope you're not here for some personality. We can't help you. Without grace, without the help of God, there's nothing I can do for you. There's nothing my wife can do for you. You know, God can use us, but we need God to use us. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the one who rose from the dead. He's the one who we should be focused on. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Men, teach your families to worship. Lead the way in praising God and in exalting God. Let the voice of every man go up and say, hallelujah, I praise Jesus. He's worthy to be praised. He's more than able. Hallelujah. So this is like a big deal. And let me tell you, like really break down spiritually, theologically. Let me break this down when it comes to worship. See, what is worship? Worship is gratitude for grace. Worship is gratitude for grace. Grace is God doing for you what you can't do for yourself. But there's two kinds of grace on the planet. There's common grace, and then there's special grace. What is common grace? Common grace, this is straight out of like some kind of theology book. It's all undeserved blessings that natural man receives from the hand of God. See, even though men don't acknowledge the rain and the sun, how many know the rain and the sun are a gift from God? You see? So rain, sun, prosperity. If an unbeliever gets a great job, a great position, you know, actually the famous atheist was in a debate. Richard Dawkins, he's like a leading quote atheist, and his opponent said to him, "What are you going to say to God? What do you think God is going to say to you when you stand before him?" And so Dawkins said, "I don't know, what do you think?" And you know what the guy said? He said, God is going to say to you most likely, "Richard, What were you doing on the planet? I was so kind to you. You wrote books. You got millions of dollars. You lived in such a great house. You had this. You had that. I provided all of that for you, and you still didn't give me the credit for it. That is, fundamentally speaking, the heart of unbelief versus the heart of faith. You see, man who doesn't believe in God says, I'm the reason that I have all this stuff. Right? Look, capacities, giftings. You know what I mean? I'm the reason, like, why, you know why I'm not unhealthy? It's because of me. Think about how fragile life is. If you're blessed, if you've been protected, if you've been helped, okay, how many would agree we should give God the glory and the honor and the credit? Man, like the guy who won't give God the credit, I don't know about that. But see, but still, common grace says God still, he reigns on the righteous and the unrighteous. Special grace is the unmerited favor and blessing that comes from a personal relationship with God. So there is a, when you're a child of God, you understand special grace. You understand that we're going to heaven. How many are happy that we are going to heaven, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done? You recognize the blessings of God in so many ways. You should see God's blessing in your life all the time. So look, my wife, you know, was, man, about 30 days, Chrissy was like really not feeling well. We were praying, and praise God that she's doing well. But this like in the last week or so, I don't remember exactly the day, but you know, we read the Bible in the morning. Why? Because of grace. I wasn't looking for God. God came looking for me. So anyway, we were reading the Bible, and Chrissy was not well, and I think she might have had a scarf on, like she's one couch, I'm sitting over here. And we're talking, and she was reading the Bible, and she said, hey, I just read this. And she read this one verse, and when she read the verse, for me, it was like dynamite. So I got the verse, I copied it down, I got a whole sermon. I was like, praise God, that's Tuesday night sermon's message. True story. Okay, I usually don't get my sermons like this, but I'm just going to give the good confession. 5 minutes later, she quotes another verse. She quotes the verse, lightning bolt, bam! I was like, wrote it down. I was like, man, this is a good one. I got another Tuesday night. You know what? Only because of the special grace of God do I have that. How many are thankful for a wife that loves the Lord? Come on, somebody say amen. You see, friends that love the Lord, special grace. Instead of friends that will backstab you, friends that will help you. How many know? How many are thankful for godly friends? Men and women of God, hallelujah. That's special grace. You're part of the family of God. That's special grace. You understand? Special things happen in our midst between, as we kind of interact with one another. Come on, ladies, keep praying over your husband. Speak the word over your husband. Husband, wash your wife with the water of the word. Speak the word. Come on, that's the kind of, we have special grace. The world can't do that because they don't have special grace. They can't quote the promises of God like that. They deny God. So they can't activate the power of God on their behalf. So why should we worship? It's because we are aware of special grace. We are aware that when we weren't looking for God, God came looking for us, and he saved us, and he rescued us from ourselves, and he's given us a new life. Anybody thankful for new life in Christ? Hallelujah! That is the fruit of special grace. And maybe when you go home, you should look around and say, special grace, special grace, special grace, special grace. I give you all of the credit. I'm going to tell you right now. That, here's the last thing before I give you the applications. That will change your relationship with God. You see, if you don't worship God, then you can't really fellowship with God. The way you activate fellowship with God is by worshiping Him. It's the only, you're in proper relationship with God when you're honoring Him and thanking Him and celebrating Him, right? With thanksgiving, even when we present our request to God, we do it with thanksgiving, the Bible says. And so we want to practice giving God offerings all day long. Why? Because faith worships. He worships. She worships. In the car, in the office. I'm going to tell you right now, God will meet you. One last thing, and now three application points. I said this in the first service, and I want to say it again. You know, when I first became a Christian, I was 17 years old, and I had this remarkable meeting with God, and I'm on my way to play professional baseball, and I threw in the mid-90s, you know, and then the day I gave my life to Christ, I pulled a muscle in my leg. It's a soap opera. But anyway, at a certain point, my arm started hurting, and I started to say to my dad and my coaches, my arm hurts. And I had just pitched, I hurt my leg, and because I hurt my leg, I couldn't throw. But I kept trying to throw, and the head of the Dodgers, one of the top guys from the Padres, all of these people came to see me, and I couldn't throw harder than 85 miles an hour. So when I went home, they said, "What's wrong?" I said, "My arm hurts." And my dad said, "Nobody throws 85 miles an hour with a hurt arm. It's that religion that you got in your head. It's making you strange." And so my coaches, I was telling my coach, and they kept saying, "Yeah, if you put an 86 on a gun, there's nothing wrong with your arm." But I knew that something was wrong with my arm. But honestly, it was the beginning of walking with God, and I felt so alone. So my family didn't understand where I was. My friends, my career was going down the tubes. Like, nothing made sense. I was brokenhearted. There were all kinds of things that I lost. And so I went for a walk one day, I remember, and I went under the Brooklyn Bridge, and I was standing there under the Brooklyn Bridge. I remember I had this long coat on, and I'm like confused because I hadn't been to church long enough. I didn't read the Bible long enough. I just was confused. I was a baby in the Lord, and I didn't have Christians around me yet. And so my father was telling people there's something wrong with my son's head. You know, they even sent me to a shrink, you know, because I wasn't throwing hard. It's true. This is a real story. Forgive me for the long. But anyway, I'm there, and my life feels like it's falling apart. And it started to rain. Talk about like a sad movie. It starts to rain. I start crying, and I say to the Lord, "I don't understand why you would let this happen. You know, I do want to serve you. I don't understand why you would let this happen." And I'm crying, but I did say, "But I still believe in you, and I still worship you." And can I tell you something? It's interesting because that moment has marked the rest of my life. Because here's what happened. Even though I didn't have my mom, I didn't have my dad, my friends thought I kind of got crazy. My coaches stopped calling, all of this stuff. Scholarships went away. All of this stuff had just vanished, even though I had nothing. In that moment, as I offered God the sacrifice of praise, and you'll see that in a moment, as I began to praise God, I'm telling you what I did have. A bubble of the presence of God surrounded me. And I had the nearness of God, brothers and sisters. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're discouraged, if you're going through it, there is nothing better than praising God. Look at how this runs all the way into the Bible. I didn't know this yet. But look, before Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says they sang a hymn, right? And then he goes to the cross. And when he's on the cross, he recites Psalm 22. Psalm 22 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? But then it turns and says, but yet you are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. God inhabits the praises of Israel. If you're watching online, if you're depressed, you're discouraged, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to offer up praise to God. Give him a worship of praise, because I'm going to tell you right now, your communion with God, your fellowship with God will be sweeter, greater, stronger than anything that you're going through. And you will say, oh, to have God this close to me, I wouldn't give anything up for this, because there's nothing better than the nearness of God. That only happens through worship. You see, you can be going through it at work, go into the bathroom, and praise him. Okay? Don't start yelling and screaming. Just go, hallelujah. Okay? Wherever you are this week, let praises go up. God will take note of you. Okay? Now, let me give you quick the applications. How does this really manifest? I kind of gave you the example before the principle. Abel was teaching us what are the acts of worship. Number one, the first act of worship is when we give God the fruit of our lips. They could send me a keyboard player. I'm going to try to race through this. The fruit of our lips. Everyone say the fruit of our lips. Okay, look at what the Bible says in Hebrews. A lot of people ignore this. It says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice of praise is what? Here's how it's explained. It says, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. That's the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise is like, look, I'm self-conscious. So you are more than able, right? Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? You sing it out. Real praise is from the heart through the lips. You understand? There is no argument possible in the Bible that says praise is less than us giving him glory with our own mouths, saying, hallelujah, amen, bless the Lord, oh my soul. That is the most natural, normal thing for the child of God. We sang it before. Hallelujah, you called out my name, so I'll sing out your praise. We praise him, we worship him with our everyone lips. Everybody say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, that's praise right there. You understand? That is the most natural, it should be the most frequent form of praise for every child of God. We should be walking around giving God praise, saying, thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. God, thank you for this food. You know, I'll never forget, I was a baby Christian. I heard about a Christian who said, we don't want to make people uncomfortable, so when we go to eat, we do silent grace. So everybody just looks at each other and goes like this. That's baloney. Okay? The next year time you're at Outback, bow your head. Say, thank you, God. Thank you for these pork chop. I don't care if anybody in this restaurant doesn't acknowledge that this pork chop came from you. I'm going to give you the praise for this pork chop. Thank you, God, for the pork chop. It's not too much. It should be every time. Every time we eat. Every time something good happens. Right? We should stop and say, hallelujah, Lord. I praise you. I worship you. I love you. You know, so two kinds of worship. Let's go back to this. Cain says, well, I don't like that. Okay? I don't like that. I don't, it's not my personality. I don't like that. Abel says, I don't care what I like. I care about what he likes. It says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands. Come on, brothers. Come on, lift your hands. Come on, every man. Okay, let men everywhere lift up holy hands. Men, we're called to lead the way. All the ladies need to join in with us. But look, we need to lift up holy hands, and we need to start with hands raised, open mouths, saying, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, do it with me. Praise you. Thank you. Bless you. We honor you. God, we celebrate you, God. God, we acknowledge you, God. God, you are good. You are faithful. You are wonderful. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. You deserve the glory. You deserve the honor. You deserve the credit for every good thing. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of heavenly lights. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise starts with the fruit of our lips. Brothers and sisters, we can sing better than we do to God. We can sing more to Him. And I'm going to tell you right now, the more we sing, the more we glorify His name, the more we're going to see manifestations of His glory and power. Do you know that they used to send the choir in front of the army? We don't do that anymore. The choir would go before the army. Why? Because when the praises go up, the power comes down. Hallelujah. Practice it for your family. Practice it with the church. When the praise goes up, the power comes down. I'm going to race through this other one. This is the most obvious point of this message in particular. Praise is not just the fruit of our lips. Praise is also the fruit of our labor. Everyone say the fruit of our labor. Notice that Abel worshiped God from his income. His income was turned into worship. When we take an offering here, that's our opportunity to worship God from our income. That's where the tithe, the first, and the best, that's where. This message is not about that, but I'm telling you right now, this goes way back to the very, very beginning. And I'm telling you right now, when you start to honor God with your income, the blessing that's released into your life, it's nothing short of supernatural. Okay, that's why we're saying this. You know, we're saying this because it's nothing short of supernatural. Here's an observation. I've been serving God for 40 years, okay? I've never looked at the tithing records of our church, okay? Because whatever you give to God, that's between you and God. I know what the Bible says you ought to do, but that's up to you, right? I can't check that, and I can't check what else you're doing throughout the week. I don't have, like, little drones following you, you know what I'm saying? And so I've never done that. However, I'm just going to tell you what I've noticed. Okay, I've noticed that there's a difference with the limited knowledge that I have, because some people, because of relationship, I know that they do tithe or don't. I've noticed this. There's a difference, and this is not the Lord. This is me. This is just an observation, okay? But I've noticed that people that tithe have a greater flow of communion with God, and a greater sense of the covering of God. rather than people do what Cain did. They give God whatever they want. I feel like there's less communion, there's less of a sense of the covering of God. And it's like shouts at us from the Bible. So look, if you don't know what the Bible says, right, find out what the Bible says. Go for yourself. You know, find out what the Bible says about how you should honor God with your income, because I'm telling you, there's incredible blessing. Though he's dead, the labor, the fruit of his labor still speaks today. It goes further than we could ever ask or think or imagine. Hallelujah. And then there's the last one, and we'll close with this. So there's the fruit of our lips, there's the fruit of our labor. But then here's Paul actually summarizes it in totality by, I'm gonna call it the fruit of surrender. The fruit of surrender. The child of God surrenders. Look at this, and we're gonna end here. Paul said, holistically speaking, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a, everyone, living sacrifice. That means all of you. That's not just your physical body. It means all of you. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your, come on, read this together, ready? True and proper worship. So the child of God, the spirit of worship, the spirit of offerings, is you begin by offering yourself. You just say, Lord, in 2025, I don't know exactly what you want to do, but here's what I want to do. I want to offer myself to you. The greatest story I heard about this is from a man who actually preached. His name was David Grant. I've said this before. David Grant, when he was a teenager, was thinking about offerings. And he said, I don't have anything in my pockets, so what do? And he said, when the offering basket was coming by, he said, Lord, I want to step into the offering myself. I want to more than put my wallet in, more than that, I just want to put my whole self, and in my heart, I'm putting my whole self in this offering basket today. And God would go on to use that man. He sent them to India. We don't know him, but he is like a Mother Teresa in India. He and his ministry has impacted thousands upon thousands. They've rescued so many people from sex trafficking and all of these things through this man. You may not know his name, but I'm telling you right now, that guy has a place in the hall of faith because he offered all of who he was to God. All. He said, here I am, Lord. Have your way with my life. You go downtown, I'll close with this, Dale Moody, shoe salesman. They've got records of his letters. He had like a fifth grade education. He couldn't write well, right? He was just such a simple guy. But one day he heard a message where the guy said, the world is yet to see what God will do with a life that's totally surrendered to him. You know what Dale Moody said? Hey, look, you see this young guy, brother with the hat on? Sox hat? Go Sox, I feel for you, bro. Right? It's the faith. She's talking about faith. So, right, Chicago's full of faith fans. Okay, let's get serious again, okay? I just took it. Well, look, I don't know his name. I'm telling you right now, God knows your name. It says he knows how many hairs you have on your head. Yours too. Yours too. He knows your secrets. He knows your struggles. He knows your battles. He knows everything. And here's what God says. Just give your life to me. Don't tell me what to do. Let me tell you what to do. And you, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, the mind can't even conceive the wonderful things that God has in store for his people. You know what God has for you? He has wonderful things, powerful things, amazing things. But who does he do that for? It's those who say, I'm climbing on the altar. Whatever you want to burn up, burn up. And whatever you want to use, use. Here I am, Lord. I give my all to you. That's what we do.